Morning, Rabbosai.
Morning.
So unfortunately yesterday we didn't have enough time to say the halacha, but today we can get to it. Speaking about L'dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi, which we started saying on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and we continue until Simchas Torah, V'Loyad V'Chlal. And the question is, there are three minhogim as to where you say it. Depending on where you daven, and depending on which chassidus you belong to, and depending on what your background is, and what the Beis HaMedrash is. So the first place that people say it is after Tachnun, but just before the Kaddish. Yeah, I think they do that in Hagas, and they do it in Sadigeh. They do it at the beginning, just before Kaddish. Like before Ashrei, before lining, just before the Kaddish. The reason for that is as follows: that in the Dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi, there's a I don't even know how to translate it, but there is a Zohar that says that from Rosh Chodesh Elul onwards, the Yud Gimel Mechlen Derachme. There are 13. I don't know how to translate it, but there's some sort of Shorim. Some sort of Shorim of Rachmonus, which are based on the Yud Gimel Midas Shal Rachmim, which open up on Rosh Chodesh Elul. So from Rosh Chodesh Elul, these doors are open, the doors that belong to the Yud Gimel Midas Shal Rachmim. The L'dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi has the Shem Yud Kei Vov Kei 13 times. It's actually quite scary to think, that we went through the Yud Gimel Midas. Maybe you said them this morning, sorry, not the Yud Gimel Midas. You said the Dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi. Said this morning, and we said 13 times the Shem Hashem. And I don't know how many times, I'm talking for myself, how many times you actually mechaven, this is the Shem Hashem. Dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi, Hashem, Yud Kei Vov Kei. And it's the Midas Shal Rachmim. So the Yud Gimel Midas Shal Rachmim are hinted in the Dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi, because it's mentioned 13 times. And that's one of the reasons why they selected the Dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi to say during these days, during Elul, when the Yud Gimel Mechlen Derachme are open. Furthermore, the Medrash Shoicha Toiv, which is the Medrash, like the Medrash Rabbah on Tehillim, says, the Dovid Hashem Oiri is Rosh Hashanah, V'Yishi Zu Yom Kippur, and Ki Yitzpadeini B'Sukkoi, V'Yom Ro Astreini is a remez to Sukkos. So therefore, there's a remez there. It doesn't say that one should say it there, but the remozim are there. So you've got the Yud Gimel Midas, you've got Yud Gimel Shemus of Hashem. Therefore, those people who say Dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi with Tachnun are saying, because this is the time when we say Yud Gimel Midas, the Yud Gimel Midas in Tachanun, immediately after Shmoneh Esra, we say, Keler Chapaim, and then we say Hashem Hashem Keler Rachum V'Chanun, during that, the period of Tachanun. Therefore, they say that the Dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi belongs there, because it's the Yud Gimel Midas, there's the Ramazim there to Yud Gimel Midas, and therefore it belongs immediately after Shmoneh Esra, and before we move on to something else. That's the first minig, the minig that to say it beforehand. The other mala that's brought down is that there's a I don't know where the phrase comes from, but there's the meaning of Ein Marbim B'Kadeshim. Yeah, a famous story about, there's a famous story but Ein Marbim B'Kadeshim, that where a Kaddish is not necessary, one doesn't just add more and more and more Kaddishim. Well, by the way, is that our speaker? Or
yes.
Are you our speaker this morning? Shalom Aleichem, my time is up, so I haven't got time to tell them the joke today. So we'll keep the joke for Sunday. Yeah? But Ein Marbim B'Kadeshim, and if you do insert the Yud Gimel Midas, the Dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi, with the Yud Gimel Midas, before the Chatzi Kaddish, before Ashrei or before lining, then you don't have to say an extra Kaddish afterwards, which some people do if they add it on after Aleinu. There they have to say another Kaddish Yosem. Here we're gaining that we don't say an extra Kaddish unnecessarily. So for those of the malus of saying it with the Yud Gimel Midas of Tachanun before Ashrei.
Oh yeah.
Which is one of the three minhagim, and we'll discuss the others on Sunday.
Yeah.
Need to make an announcement. No?
Yes.
Where are we? Nope. Thank you.
Morning, thank you.
Tari Way, Northwest London, Erev Shabbos Kodesh. It's the 29th of August. It's Hey Elul, and our speaker is Harav Yossi Berkovich Shlita on a Pasha theme.
Beginning the shows by voice, maybe some things on this week's parsha. Beginning of this week's parsha, the Torah mentions a whole list of mitzvahs, isurim, even before Sheni. There's a pasuk that says as follows: Lo yisitar lecho asheru kol eitz, eitzel mizbach Hashem eloikecha asher ta'aseh lo. This pasuk brings an isur of planting an asher tree, kol eitz. So in Kol HaTorah, Kol HaTorah, usually when the Torah addresses it, Ashero, Rashi explains in many places, Ashero is Ilon Shoev Dinoisri. It was such a thing, they used to serve with the Zohar to a tree, and that's an Ashero. So then we understand the first few words of the Pasuk, the Sita Lecho Ashero. You're not allowed to plant and avoid the Zohar tree. The Pasuk continues, Kol Eitz, any tree, Eitz L'Mizbech Hashem Elokecha Asher Ta'aseh Lo, next to the Mizbeach of the Ribono Shel Olam. How does the Hemshach of the Pasuk go? So obviously that question bothered Rashi. So Rashi brings from Chazal that this Pasuk does not only include this Issa of planting an Asher tree, it's answering something completely different as well. And the Dosha goes like this. Loisita lecho Ashero, that's one Issa. And another Issa, Loisita, is referring to the Hemshach of Pasuk as well. Don't plant kol eitz, any tree. Eitzel, mizbach Hashem eloikecha asher ta'aseh lo. Don't plant any tree next to the Mizbeach. Mikan, there is also to plant a tree in Har HaBayis. That's another Issa learned from this Pasuk. Shaila is, what's the essence of this Issa? What's the Havon of this Issa? Why did the Torah ask to plant trees on Har HaBayis? Before we mention different ideas to understand this Issa, maybe another question. If you look at the Hemshech HaPsukim, of the psukim, these psukim over here, there's something very striking that the Hemshech HaPsukim doesn't go. The pasuk starts with all dina dayonim, shoyftim v'shoytim titnocho v'chol shorecho, appoint dayonim. Then it says, a din of a dayin, loisatim mishpot loisakir ponim, in order to do folks a din. Tzedek, tzedek tirdoif, you should go correct, paskin everything correct, go to the correct basin, like Rashi says. Then the pasuk like goes off the topic, brings this pasuk, Lesita lecho Ashero kol eitz v'chulu. Another pasuk, Lesokim lecho matzeva shason Hashem lekecho, in order to put up a matzeva. Also again, type of mizbeach, which Ribono Shel Olam doesn't allow. Lesizbach Hashem lekecho shel voseh, ashiyeh bo imum. Din hakoves hakov, in order to be makev v'almum. Nothing to do with inyone dayonim. And later the pasuk goes vayte, dinim of halochas, the bezness to paskin. Ki motz v'kir bo v'chat shorecho. You hear, you have to pass in Hilches Dayonim, Hilches Eidos, Yadayin Tiyobo Mishon, all Hilches Dayonim. These three psukim that come in here in the middle seem to be out of place. The Sitra Lecho Ashero, the Sokim Lecho Matzevo, the Sizbach Lashem Balmun. These three things that seem to be. No, we have to understand why they come in here in the middle of these Dine, Dayonim, and Bezdin. The Marik and Shuvas. Marik is from the later Rishonim, he brings a Chazal. Everybody knows Kitzei Shloima. Shloima Melech, when people used to come to him, Ledin, he was sitting at Kitzei Shloima. Kitzei Shloima, a beautiful chair that he was sitting on, like the Psukim HaMarachim. So it says there were six steps to the Kitzei. So the Marik brings a Chazal. On every step of Shloima's Kitzei, it said one of these Psukim. The first pasuk it said, The first step it said Lisatim Mishpot. The second step it said Lisikach Shoichat. Then said Tzedek Tzedek Tirdev. It goes through all these psukim. On each step it said one of these psukim, and as Shlomo would go up to his place, the posuk would, the chair would say this posuk aloud. And what are the six psukim? First, three psukim talking about din dayonim. Then it would also say, the fourth step was lesita lecho asher okolet. The fifth step was v'losokim lecho matzevo. And the sixth step was v'losiz v'hashem lecho shor oseh asher boimum. So again, he's going on to Kisei Shlomo, Kisei Mishpot. And where did these psukim come in? What has that got shaykhes with Mishpot? Again, it seems that these psukim have got shaykhes to Mishpot. So the Marik over there is Marchiv. He goes through all of these psukim. But we'll maybe mention one part of these psukim which we can take a lesson from. Again, in this first pasuk, it is included the din, not only not allowed to plant and avoid the Zohar tree, not allowed to plant any tree in the Harabais. And we're trying to understand that, and especially what does that got a shaykhes with doing something wrong in Mishpat. So the Marik says, one of these psukim Chazal already addressed to explain what the shaykhes is to judgment to Mishpat. One Sanhedrin of Zayin Umid Beis says, Kol ha'ma midayin she'enoi hogun, Ki'ilu nota ashero b'Yisrael. V'mokim sheish tamid ha'chomim, Ki'ilu nota etzel mizbeach. If somebody chooses and appoints a dayan, a judge, which is not fitting to be a dayan, it's considered like he was notea ashero next to the mizbeach. Marik himself is muchach. We have to explain, first of all, he says, you can't just explain this one pasuk of shaykhes to Mishpat. All of them have to have shaykhes somewhere to dayonim, because otherwise why do they come in here? But even in this first pasuk, not only planting avodah zarah trees compared, somebody who appoints a dayan shein roi is like somebody who's neteah sheiro. Also the second issa that we mentioned, to be neteah eitz, the harabais, has also got a shaykhes with appointing a dayan she'ein hogun. And the shaykh is, what have the two things got to do with each other? You're choosing a judge, so obviously you have to choose a dayan, which is roi, he's got good middas, yeshomai, talmud chochem, he knows how to pasken, svor yeshoah, abadim. If you don't do that, it's not right. What has that got to do with planting trees on our bais? So back, we have to understand, bichlal, why did the Torah ask her to plant trees in Harabais? So there seems to be that the Yeshonim mention at least two sorrows, two nekudas, why to help us out to understand what's wrong with it. Ramban mentions that the Umasoilom, one thing seems to be clear in the Ramban over here in the Ramban, that's what the Goyim used to do. The Goyim used to do next to the Avodah Zorah, besides for having an Avodah Zorah, used to plant nice trees, beautiful trees next to it. So if you understand why they did it, you understand why the Baruch Shleim had paid and have them not to do it in Beis HaMikdash. So Ramban by us mentions that the reason why they did it, they wanted to enhance the place, want to make it more attractive. You come to a place, it should be a nice place. So they make the place more beautiful. So they didn't just have the Avodah Zorah where there, that they used for the Avodah to serve. Around there, they made a nice garden, nice trees, and through that, the place became more attractive. Let's maybe go now to the Moshel of the Gemara. Somebody's looking for a judge. We're trying to choose a dayan, that he should be the dayan. Why should you choose a dayan she'ein hogun? So it could be different cheshbonos. But one of the reasons could be, and that seems to have a marik learns this chazal over here, is there's very many things that a person can get impressed by a person, even though he's not really worth what he's trying to point him for. He might be a great speaker, might be very an impressive personality, might look very impressive. And because of that, the person might misjudge and decide maybe that he's a great personality to be a dayan. People listen to him and how to speak and how to give it over, how to convince people to make sure things happen the way he wants. And ignoring the fact that he's missing in Yashomayim, he's missing in Midas Tovas, then that's how a person can come to be Memane Dain She'ein Hogun. Zogen Chazal. Kol ha'Memane Dain She'ein Hogun, Ki'ilu Nota Asher V'Veis Hashem. Don't get carried away with the outer beauty, outer impression, things which impress you. Make sure the inside is right. And maybe the main thing is that the inside should be right. And definitely the main thing, first you have to look for the main midas, the ikar midas, his pnimius is alright. If he doesn't hear Shomayim, he doesn't understand, every din that comes to him has to be, you have to go approach with kovod roish, like we find many chazal, then it's worthless to appoint him as a dayan. If he's got bad midas as well, he doesn't see things straight. What's be'emes straight, he thinks is incorrect. What's incorrect, he thinks is correct. He's not going to see things right. Kol ha'mar medayan she'eino hogun k'ilo nota asheiro kol eitz in beis hamikdash. Now we can understand, come back to the nimshel in chazal, now we'll understand this possible. Why did the umas ha'olam also had avodah zarah? Be'etzem it's a place for the avodah. So-called their ruchnis. It's their mokam avodah, that's what they did. Nevertheless, they understood, if they'll enhance the chitzonius, the gashmius, and it makes the place more attractive, that's a way of getting people to go there. And that's part of what they're supposed to be doing for the mokam avodah. So the Rebbeinu Shloim, the Havdil and Beis HaMikdosh, that's not what we want. Beis HaMikdosh is a ruchnis dikar place. It's not a place where you try to make a stump beautiful with random chitzonius dikazach. Beis HaMikdosh was a nice building, but everything was with a cheshbon exactly as it was. Like the Sfarim say, everything was mechuvan, each thing to the last detail. Well, there was a specific cheshbon, why it was made from this material, not that material. You find in Chazal, in Rishonim, Machoim, they explain every detail of the Beis HaMikdosh. But randomly, start bringing in flowers, trees. That's not the mokum for this. Here's the mokum that we're looking for pnimius, forchnis. Stump, wrapping it up with something fancy, and through that, make it more beautiful. That doesn't come in here. So we have one understanding of this is of planting trees in Harabais. Harabais is a mokum avoid, a mokum for ruchnias. Just random chitzonis dika beauty is not what comes. That's not what comes in there. He gets carried away with a chitzonis dika. He gets impressed with chitzonis dika things that he has. Kilo, he's notei asheru kol eitz eitzel mizbach Hashem alekecha shetasenu. That's one mahalach over here. Alpi the Ramban, first of all, understanding what the kpeda, why the goyim did it, and why there's a kpeda of the Rebbeinu Shloim not to do it. Possibly we can understand it in a different way. When we look at the Rambam, when he brings this issa, he seems again, he says, starts off the same way, that this, to plant trees in the Beis HaMikdosh, would be coming from, just like the goyim, lehavdil, plant trees next to the Avodah Zarah. But he seems to be saying a different reason why the goyim would plant trees next to the Avodah Zarah. When he brings this halacha, interesting. There is fruit, no fruit. He's trying to make it beautiful. Brings our posuk. Why? Matin Ilonis Bitzad Mizbeach Shelo Kedei She Iskapt Sushom Ha'om. The goyim used to do that next to their Mizbeach, next to their Mokam Avodah Zarah, Kedei She Iskapt Sushom Ha'om, in order to get people to come there. Could be he means just to make a beautiful place that people should get there, or could be he means something else as well. That's about Rambanova is Mashmah, he means something else. Maybe before that, you might know if you took him in Parsha Se'e. Beginning of Parsha Se'e is an interesting psukim. The Rebbeinu Shloim over there tells Klal Yisrael, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, one of the first things you should do, Abei te'abdun es kol ha'mekoymes asher obdu shom ha'goyim. You should go and find all places of Avodah Zarah, uproot the Avodah Zarah, get rid of them. Where the Avodah Zarah is kept, where did they put the Avodah Zarah? Al hehorim horomim balagoyis, on the high mountains and hills, the sachas kol eitz ranon, and under growing beautiful trees. Then he touch them as mizbechos, he shall break them mizbeches, break them atzeves, uproot the asheres, v'chulu. The Torah is mitzave that we have to get rid of Mishnah Boche. It's a kiras of the Zohar from Eretz Yisrael is a very important part of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Kibush Eretz Yisrael. Then the pasuk goes weiter. Loisasun kein l'Hashem elokeichem. Don't do that to the Rebbeinu Shloim. one pasuk. Then kiim el amokem ashiv chashem elokeichem mikol shivteichem nasum es shemoy shom v'shichno esidu shuv asar shomu. You should go to the place that the Bnei Shalom chooses. Again, Rashi over here also explains that, that these psukim are not really connected. Again, it's going from one topic to another. First, the Bnei Shalom tells us to be oikav edazon. Then the Bnei Shalom says leisasim ken Hashem aloikeichem. Rashi explains it's going on mechikas Hashem or to be going on the mizbeach to be broken. And then something else. You should go to the Beis Hamikdash Gimel Ribonim. Three topics, one after another. Fact. There is a pshat I once heard, B'shem Marit Salon, who explains this psukim, pointing out one inyan and the hemshach psukim in a different way. He explains it with a moshel. He says when a person opens a shop, sells wine or whatever he may sell, he won't just open the shop behind closed doors and try and sell wine, even if it's in an area where every door is another shop. But make sure to advertise on the door a big sign that he's selling wine. He's not going to rely on people going through finding out what did he sell over here, what did he sell over here. I'm looking for wine, where do I find this? I'm looking for vegetable, where do I find this? So one of the reasons is, he says, if you'll be relying on people inquiring and asking around, where can I find wine, or what did they sell over here, each person you're going to ask is going to have his own comment to add. You might say, what they're selling over here? You know, over here they're selling wine, but the guy selling over there is a bit of a hard character, a hard fellow to deal with. Well, you know, there's a cheaper shop, or whichever comment they're going to add. He doesn't need people to be asked. He's not interested in people to get too many comments. He wants one thing, they should come in. So he puts a big sign in front of the door. Here we sell wine, delicious wine, cheap wine, whatever you want. And then people won't ask any questions and they'll enter. Why? Because he's worried. He can always find faults, and especially by each person with his way of looking at things. He doesn't want to enter any risks. Everything should be clear. Just come in and buy. Zokta, and that's what it seems in the Rambam over here, and the Ramban, but also mentions these words. The goyim, when maybe before we come to that, there's another oran that psukim over here. When the Torah's mitzvah asks to be oikar avodazora, the Torah points out you should know where to find these avodazoras. Al ha'orim aromim v'agvois, on the mountains, the tachas kol ha'yisrano. How does this come in over here? That the avodazoras are placed on the mountains and also tachas kol ha'yisrano, under big trees, nice trees. What's the Torah coming to tell us about it? The Gemara learns the limudim from here. Say the Rabbah, the pshutish and mikro, why is the Torah pointing this out? The avodazoras of the goyim are on the mountains and on the trees. So they explain the reason why the goyim would put the avodah zarah on mountains, or why they would plant a huge tree next to it, is in order that from distance you should be able to find it. If you put an avodah zarah in the middle of town, so you have to find it. How are you going to find it? You're going to start asking people, where is it? Ask for directions, how to get there. They don't want people to ask too many questions. Once you ask questions, you're going to say you should know. I tried it; it didn't really work. It's not so advisable. There's something else over there. The people should be attracted, and as soon as they want to get there, they should find it right away. So they put it on top of the mountain. Everybody knows how to get there. You go straight there. Alaholim, balagvois, v'sachas kol eitzanu, no, plant a big tree. No, as soon as you get close to the area, you know, you look out for the tree. That's where it is. That's where you go. That's why the Umas HaOlam would plant big trees and make sure that Avodah Zarah should be on the mountains to make it easy to find without too many questions. So you would think we should do the same thing in Beis HaMikdash. In order to make it easy for people to find, plant a big tree there. And as soon as you get close to the old city, you know exactly where to go. You don't have to, look where the tree is. But the Rebbeinu Shloimeh, not necessary. Not necessary, we don't need that. It makes another interesting, even more. Actually, in this week's parsha brings Ohr Miklot. When a person kills Beshoigig, he has to run to Ohr Miklot. He has to run there as quick as he can, because otherwise the Goyil Adam might kill him on the way. So the Pasuk says, Tochin Lechol HaDerech. You should prepare the way to Ohr Miklot. Actually, brings Miklot, Miklot, Toyokosev Al Poshes Dochen. Each junction, It was a sign to show how to get to Olam Miklot in order to help the Yisrael B'Shoyi to get there as quick as possible. So the Maritats, we never find anywhere that they made signposted the way to the Beis HaMikdosh in order to help people to get to the Beis HaMikdosh easy. Why do we only find the Olam Miklot that they made sure to have signs on the junctions to get there? So the Hein Ein Advon, Olam Miklot, you have to make sure to get there as quick as possible without having to ask where the direction is because it's risking his life. But when we're talking about Beis HaMikdosh of the Mishnah, no. Come to every junction, ask, where's the Beis HaMikdosh? You'll talk to people, maybe he'll join you, he'll definitely encourage you. Interesting, the Ramban over there, on this pasuk of the Sheikh Nesidushu, says, "Sheteilchu lo me'eretz mechakim, v'tishalu ono derech Beis Hashem." He teaches, "Dos made l'Sheikh Nesidushu." You should ask around, where is the way to go to derech Hashem? Possibly his mom is to this Mahalach of the Maritat. Don't try and make it so simple and easy. People should ask. People will ask, like we find in Chazal, when we used to go up Oyle Regel, one of the in Elkono, every year he chose a different way for people to join him. That was a whole different way. People should ask, talk about it more and more. There's nothing negative. Everybody has great experiences from there. You walk into Beis HaMikdosh, you see that soul Nissim, you feel the closeness to the Rabbeinu Shlom. Adrabe, Sheikh Nesidushu, Ono Derech Hashem. Talk about it, discuss it. We don't have to worry about it. If you have something real to offer, you don't have to worry of people asking questions. Adrabe, should ask questions and be more and more pulled to go there, directed there, and how to go there. So, Dr. Rambam Ba'unz, this is, now we understand the Rambam. With this, we understand the Rama very well. Why don't plant any tree in Azor? In order that people should get there. What does it mean to get there? They should get there easily and find it and get there. So the Bein Shtel and Beis HaMikdosh, you don't need that. Fakel. Even as a place, it wasn't on top of the mountain, the Gemara in Zvochim says, it was a bit lower. There is a higher place in Itom, is higher, over the Beis HaMikdosh is lower down. You have to look for it, you have to search for it, Adrabe. Because if you're selling something real, you don't have to try and catch people with chitzonius. Okay. Let them find it. The Shichno is Siddushu. So, it's a different way of understanding this Issa of Yosit L'Lachor, Eikol Eitz Eitzim Mizwach Hashem L'Kech, but the Nekuda is being the same. We're not looking for chitzonius dikazach. We're not trying to impress people with chitzonius. Something real, then people can discuss and go into it and go with it. Emesis is, it's we see it in this issa, we see it. But Emes, it's a life lesson, very general, which is Nagea to us the whole time. So the simple example is advertisement. Advertisement. How does advertisement work? So somebody wants to advertise coffee. What do? You get a person, fill up a cup of coffee, make him drink it, put a can or put a container of that coffee on the side. He has to smile, and you put it on, and that's the advertisement. Obviously, it works because people invest a lot of money to put it out in the streets, and obviously that makes people buy the coffee. If you think about this advertisement, it doesn't make sense from beginning to end. First of all, who said they put coffee in the cup? And if they put coffee, who said they put the coffee that they're advertising on? And any person will take a cup of coffee into his hand and smile if you pay him. So why does this impress people? Why does this work that people should buy? The Torah says, yeah, azoidos. As a person looks at something, he has an impression on him, and he goes for it. That's how it is. But the Rebbeinu Shlomo says, a real person does not get impressed, or doesn't look for the chitzonius. Maybe the chitzonius won't speak to him. He's looking for the real, he's looking what's behind it. Maybe I can add another thing.
Could I just raise two questions always? The first, because the Beis HaMikdosh was in Yerushalayim, a high place. It was on Har HaBayis, a high place within Yerushalayim. And both Potei Mikdoshes were beautiful buildings.
Yeah. So I'll start with the second question. That's the one of the first Malach. As I mentioned, the building itself was covered on Melech. But now we're talking about adding randomly, just to make it even more beautiful, wrapping up. The building was covered on Melech. It's a castle. true. But why would he add trees? Add flowers, colors. That's without a cheshbon. That's that. And the other thing is, it was not on top of the mountain. Was not on top of the mountain. And even how it's not that high.
Yeah.
It's not that high. So to get there is not. It's not that simple. Maybe. Well, we'll end off with Kadmonim. We find that they compare in Yon Olam Hazeh, like if somebody gets involved in Yon Olam Hazeh, like drinking salty water. Which, what salty water do to a person? So the Goan, the Kadmonim speak about it, and the Goan says, Ha'olam doime l'shoise mai meluchim. The things that the world has to offer to people is like drinking salty water. Yidmeloy shemarave. A person at first moment thinks it drenches his thirst. But some yoisa, the truth is, he becomes even more thirsty. Ein odom meis vechatzit avose biyodo. Vayisun laodom b'cholam oloy. The Goan wrapped up the whole inyon olam hazeh, what the world has got to offer a person, is fancy, colorful, exciting. But the work of a person, like Remus, we find that was already Bachavo, that's what happened Bachavo. Vatero Ishok, Kitoiva Eitz Lemacho, Bichisavo Leinayim, Nechmon Eitz Laskin. She got impressed with what she saw in front of her eyes. And she would have thought behind, what even though it looks impressive, and I think I'm going to gain something, I'm going to enjoy, but what the person has to do, if they look behind, what's going to be afterwards? What happened afterwards? Xeris Misa came from that. Similarly over here, the moshel of the Kadmonim, Mai Meluchim, the person is very thirsty, he sees water, doesn't think twice, he drinks. The first second, he feels better. But a bit later what happens? He just becomes more and more thirsty. The general thing is that a person should not be impressed and get carried away of just what he sees in front of the eyes, what there is to offer. Think what's behind. Is there something real behind? Or is it just a nice wrapping, which you're getting, a nice picture, a nice chitzonit thing that you're getting carried away by. They say, Bala Musa says, "Shteit yesh limona roitze mosaim, yesh limosaim roitze dalet meis." So, pashtus, you understand with this nekuda. If you have, you think by getting, you have 100, you want 200. You have 200, you want 400. You never, pashtus, understand. All Chazal are telling you, you're never going to get to the end of it. You have 100, you 200, 200, you want 400. When he had 100, he wanted 200. How much was he missing? Another 100. It's painful. He's not calm. He's not happy. All he's missing is 100. Once he has 200, you should know your thirst is going to grow even bigger. Then it's a dalid mace. He's going to want 200. The more you let yourself get carried away and getting involved in not real things, it's not never going to calm you. You're never going to feel fulfilled. Just more and more. Going to get you more and more. More and more thirsty and looking for more and pulling you away from your focus where you should be focusing. We say in Yom Noroim, Tfilas Yom Noroim, Shteit Bechol Horisho Kulo Ka'oshan Tichne. We daven, and the Rebbein Shlem Shub Megalik Vot Shomayim, and anything to do with bad or negative should all be destroyed and taken away. And the Nosach is Bechol Horisho Kulo Ka'oshan Tichne. Ka'oshan, like smoke. Should get rid of it like smoke. Why is the moshel like smoke? So Chaim Friedlander, he's got a Pirush and Tefillah, he says, smoke sometimes, if you have a big fire, can look very, very thick and very from distance, like you would see something black, grey, sometimes even black smoke. Seems like something very thick and wide, and you can't see through it. Well, if you go there, you go close to it, you put your hand through it, there's nothing there. Same thing, anything negative which is in this world, it seems very impressive, it seems very powerful, it seems very, it gives you a lot, it's worth investing in it. But the osid love, but nizgaleva, and the bunch is going to be megalitas, it's all nothing real. Real is Torah, avodas Hashem, avodas Shomayim, and closeness to the Rebbeinu Shlom. And that, the osid love, the bunch is going to do the job. Our job now is to work on this, to not get involved, not get carried away by things that look flashy, look exciting, look colorful. Rather look what's behind it, what's real, and focus on real things. And whatever is real, decide to go for it and do the Otz Nashem. Shul b'zirchem, sivach simetoyda, and good chance.
Right, let's go from here a little bit towards the end of the Seder, because that's not usually so explored. And there the Torah speaks about Koyim Mashiach Nechumo, and asking the questions that she presents to the nation who have come out there to serve as soldiers. And he asks them, Mi uish ha-shanuta kerem lo echilelo yelech yushev lebeisoi penimis ba-melchomo. It starts with kerem, and then he speaks about got engaged to a lady and he hasn't actually married her. And then Rashi mentions the very interesting part that if it was a house, Mi uish ha-shebunu bayis chudosh yelech yushev lebeisoi, go home, don't fight in this war. Another man might go into your home and he's going to, how do you say, reside in your new residence. And Rashi adds to the, that's a very sad, aggravating phenomenon. A person having gone to the extent of building something with so much meticulous detail. So, there is a story which they say from Rav Shitzuruv, which highlights this. And apparently the Rav Shitzuruv, they had the Rosh HaKul, and the Rosh HaKul was sick, and he was al eres tevoi, he was about to pass away from this world. And they called for the Heilige Rav Shitzuruv to come, because the man wanted to speak, to see the Rav before he passed on. And he went with his gabbe, was a Ingeman Shekilo Abucher. And when he came into the room, he noticed an interesting thing, that the man was mamash, the letzte koichas, he had just about enough koich to breathe, but he pulled himself over the side, hauled himself into position. And he spoke to the Rav Shitzuruv, and the gabbe noticed the Rav Shitzuruv's smile, coyly, covetous smile, looked away, and then turned towards the Rosh HaKul and spoke to him. They engaged in a short conversation briefly, and then the Rosh HaKul left. And it wasn't long later the man passed away, very shortly afterwards. But the Gabba was intrigued. He asked the Rebbe, Rebbe, Zahnspeis, came, he looked, he smiled, and he looked away, and then he spoke to him. He says, Shkalaf kemin. Good morning, sir. But he was curious, so he persisted, asked again and again. So the Rav Shitzuruv said to him, "This darf gewissen, you really want to know. Let me tell you, this Rosh HaKul, Edishken Kamuels, is a Yedai Seifer, he's a person who has learned. He knows this Gemurah that says that a person passes away from this world, there's two positions that he could occupy. Either he could be Puno Velakir, which means that when he passed away from this world, he's facing the wall. Simen Rahilo, that's not a very good sign. However, if he put up Elu'om, if he's facing the people, Simen Yufohilo, ah, that person passed away, he's facing the people who he's engaging with. He's an old man. Right now, you just heard he passed away. He's up there in front of Bezn Shalmav. He's got to face the music. But the only thing that he thought about 2 minutes or 5 minutes before he passed on to a better world is Vuz et de Ruf Zugbama Hespet. What's he going to say? And he'll be able to say, ah, Puno Velvom, the Roshkul is Havek, and he passed away and he was facing the people, Simen Yufuiloi. And for that, with his last koichas and the little bit of strength that he was managed to harness together. When he was ebbing away, he turned towards me. I couldn't contain myself. I thought to myself, my goodness me, can you imagine? He's going to face, in a very short while, the Bezen Shalmal will have to give Din V'cheshbon for 70 years of his life. And what's he got in mind now? Man Hespet. Who's that besuchen? Puno Beluam. Coming back to our Pusik here. So, the Heilige Im Rema said, this man is going to engage in battle. The bullets are going to fly chas v'shulim like in Gaza from all sides. Snipers. One of them hits him and that's goodbye Charlie. End of day. And then what happens? He has to go up and he has to face the court. Unka chochmas. No chochmas. He's got to give the v'cheshm for his entire life. But he built a house now. And he took an interior designer. And they built a pool. And they made an air conditioning system for a couple of £100,000. And now he's invested all this with the most magnificent papers and rugs and everything is finished. And now they call him to war and there he is going to the battlefield. And what has he got in mind? Mister, you could be facing a tribunal for the rest of your entire life. And he's thinking, Abu Yanki is going to swim in my pool now. Yankel is going to sleep in that new bed that I put in. He's going to be switching on and off that new air conditioning system to get the climate control. Do you know how many months I put into that house? How sad. How very, very, very sad it is that a man who is just about to give a chance that he might go to Bezen Shalmalo right now and be hit by a bullet by a thing, and what has he got in mind? Somebody else is swimming in my pool. Stay home, don't go to battle. Don't go. So the Maharal says, another take on this, Maharal says very quickly that the Duva Shalagmas Nefesh is there, that this actually reflects on his inability to go to war, because if he's dragged down by aggravation, he won't be a good soldier. And that Duvash Lagmus Nefesh is a very simple reason that he's not going to perform as a soldier. Maida, don't go. But those Naim the Torah, I saw a very, very nice Heura in exactly the same thing. Because if you look in the Pusik, Pusik repeats something three times over. V'dibri ha-shoytrim enu om. And this is worthwhile picking up on because it's mamash in the Pusik. Miu'ish says there again, Ashebuna ba'es chudosh. Second time, imi hu ish ashenuta kerem, imi hu ish ashe eras ishu. What's this business going on about mi hu ish? You want to make 3 points. These are the three categories. These classifications are going to void the person from going to battle. Then just say them all. Why do you have to introduce each one of them as mi hu ish ashe eras ishu v'loy lekucha? So the Heiliger's name, the Torah, he says, in the end of the day, the question is the same one. If you're going to risk your life in war in order to fight with Messias Nefesh for your country, is this the time for you to start thinking about the house and the air conditioning and the swimming pool and the decor and the new kitchen which you just put in from the German kitchen? That's not the time. If you compare the Agbas Nefesh and the aggravation of having to leave this world entirely to the aggravation of having somebody else occupy your house, which is the worst? Zuk de Torah, no. 3 times I'm telling you. Because the problem is the ish acha yachnecheni. The ish acha yikucheni. The ish acha, every single time the concept is kinna. I ain't got it, but he's got it. And he's taken my house. He's taken my wife. He's busy with my vineyard and he's plowing it. That Midas Akina has got the potential ability of overriding even his fear of death, because he's consumed completely with one thing. I built it, I invested koichos in it, and he's using it. And that's what the Torah is keeping on repeating the word, ve'ish'acha, ve'ish'acha. Ve'ish'acha, because that's what's going through the man's mind. Weil auf dem Ruf kommt El daf und Trachten. Ah, think of it is. I can't no time. The Shabbos hat's gesehen. Oh,
Shmuel Zaev Ben Sari. Thank you.